Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Saeed Jalili, says Lebanon's achievements have set good examples to many regional and world countries. During a meeting in Tehran on Wednesday with Lebanese former Prime Minister Omar Karami, Jalili said Lebanon's enemies are not satisfied with the national unity and see it as a threat to their interests. Karami, for his part, appreciated Iran's support for the Lebanese nation's rights and underlined the need for unity among all political parties in Lebanon. Karami added, Iran plays a key role in the Middle East developments and can contribute greatly to Lebanon's progress. On the last day of his trip to Iran, Bolivian President Evo Morales arrived in Asaluye Economic Zone in southern Iran on Wednesday. He visited the South Pars oil and gas installations off the southern Iranian coast. 30 petrochemical and 3 LNG projects are to be implemented in Asaluye. Moreover, 5 out of a total 24 refineries scheduled to be constructed there is already up and running. Gold extraction in Iran will rise to 10 tons by March 2009. That according to Iranian Deputy Minister of Industries and Mines, Mohammad Masoud Sami-Inejad, who underlined all stages of gold extraction in Iranian mines are handled by local experts using cutting-edge technology. He also said the private sector is contributing a gold extraction in the country and offering gold on domestic and foreign markets as needed. Iran's Ministry of Culture and Islamic Guidance has refused to renew the visa of Al Arabiya's Tehran bureau chief Hassan Fass for his kind of performance. A top official with the ministry said this, however, does not mean Al Arabiya's bureau in Tehran has been closed. The official added the bureau will continue its work in Tehran, but Fass must leave Iran as soon as his visa has not been extended. Tehran has dismissed recent claims over the 3 Iranian islands as baseless. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Hassan Ghashghavi on Wednesday rejected a statement issued at a Persian Gulf Cooperation Council foreign ministerial meeting in Jeddah, adding the 3 islands of the Greater and Lesser Tombs and Abu Musa are part and parcel of the Iranian territory. Ghashghavi also said measures adopted by Iran on Abu Musa Island are legal and added the PGCC communique amounts to interference in Iran's domestic affairs. Pakistan's Prime Minister survived an apparent assassination attempt Wednesday when at least 2 shots hit his limousine as he drove toward the capital. Officials said Yusuf Reza Gilani was unhurt and brought to safety after the incident on the main highway leading into Islamabad. He is reportedly back in Islamabad at the PM house.
Lauren, so far as the Israelis are concerned, you entered the Gaza Strip illegally, so you can't leave like any other British citizen. What's the British government doing about your case?
Well, I think first of all we should talk about the word illegal, because an official statement by the Israeli Defense Ministry on August the 25th stated that the action in approaching Gaza by the sea was no security threat and was obviously a mission of goodwill. So broadly speaking, the Israeli authorities accepted our mission was human rights and was not therefore illegal. However, they have now taken the stance that because we have not entered through Eretz, we will not be able to pass through that crossing. Although this doesn't apply to everyone, just 5 days ago, Jeff Halper, one of my colleagues on the boat, he passed through Erez.
Well, of course, we know the Israeli government, how it treats other nationals. I mean, Rachel Corrie, a US national, bulldozed to death. Tom Hollandel, a British cameraman, What do you think the British government are going to try and do? Because foreign governments haven't usually been very successful when it comes to people in Gaza who aren't Palestinian, let alone if you are Palestinian.
Exactly. Well, there are 10 nationals here now who came over on the boat, and we've been refused exit from either Rafah, the Egyptian exit from Gaza, or Erez, the Israeli exit. So we call on all governments not just to represent nationals who are here and trapped, but to look again at what a blockade means, at this squeeze on every single person here. You know, as a journalist, I've been to Palestine before, and I've never seen it as bad as this. 85% of families in Gaza are reliant on handouts. 65% of children are suffering malnutrition as a direct result of Israel's blockade here. That's what governments should be looking at. And if they take the time to find out how to free me as well, very good. But really, that's the issue here.
You are, of course, creating a lot of news yourself because of being the sister-in-law of not only the former Prime Minister, but the Middle East Peace Quartet envoy. I see that he's actually been meeting with the one of Israel's deputy prime ministers, Shaul Mofaz, who we know about in Iran, because he's been threatening Iran with bombing Iran if it continues with its nuclear program. What advice would you give to him, and what do you think he's talking to about when he's talking to Shaul Mofaz?
Well, sadly, it's hard to see that Gaza will be a discussion topic, as Tony Blair has never made the effort to actually get into Gaza and see the terrible situation that the Israeli blockade is imposing here. I would personally hope that Tony Blair is talking about the 1,500 and more patients in Gaza who need medical treatment abroad. And on the 1st of August, for example, last month, 5 patients were allowed past the Rafah border. The border crossings are the essential question for Gazan people now, and their easing of restrictions on them is what he should be addressing.
There's not been much comment from the British government at the moment, Gordon Brown's government. What would you call on them to do?
Well, when I got to the Egyptian border, I have had a permit to leave from Palestine, and it was only when I reached the Egyptian terminal building that I was turned back because I was told I was on the ships. Now, that means this is a political decision by someone higher up the food chain in the Egyptian government, and that should therefore involve the British Foreign Office in talking about freeing the British citizens who are here, because it seems we are political prisoners, if you like, of Egypt and Israel's blockade of Gaza.
It's probably not directly to do with your case, but we have heard that Hamas says that its talks on the Egyptian-mediated prisoner swap, that's with Gilad Shalit, have broken down with Israel. Do you sense the situation is generally deteriorating in Gaza?
The situation for the people of Gaza is at what we would call in ecological terms tipping point. It can't get much worse without being on a line with Darfur. Why the international community is not looking in this direction, I cannot personally explain. But the UN relief agency here has given many reports this year that the children, the elderly, the sick, everybody in Gaza needs outside help, medical aid. The blockade must end.
Lauren Booth, broadcaster and journalist, thank you for joining us, and hope you are able to leave.